Amen. Whoops. Yep. Just switch this on and record. Good. Yep. We welcome Stuart and Scott visiting with us today, and they'll be on the music next week. So do welcome them when you see them at the end of the service, and they can try and remember 30 names. Right, that's always the hassle on the first day of school, isn't it, when you've got this classroom full of kids and you remember the worst one and the best one, yeah, but all the old middling ones, yes. What was your name again? By this age, Liam was very popular. I think I had about three Liams, so I think it was a score of about 1 out of 5 chance if you just called all the guys Liam. And that was it. We do need to pray for the Sunday school, okay, for Rita, and we need helpers there. And we just need to pray that God just brings people in from the community, and that would be exciting to be in. I've been thinking about next year and what's coming. So we've finished a whole series on Ephesians, and this is the last one on this particular passage, and I'll put that out in print soon. But this is the prayer, and listen to it in Ephesians 6. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So this is the prayer of Paul for the Ephesian church. And this is our prayer that I want to pray for 2019, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. I checked the Greek on that, asanthropon. So it is literally in the inner man. It is, I couldn't find another way around it. It's the man inside. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So I want us to pray that for 2019. I want us to pray that we will know the love of Christ in our hearts. Fair enough? And so we'll just rush off to the 16th slide here. So God gave me music to put to those words, and therefore we will suffer through this briefly before the sermon. Oops, and I think I'm back. Am I going backwards or forwards? You're not touching it, are you? Should I be going backwards? How do I go backwards? The old press the button backwards trick. Right, okay, so there we are. Okay, so what do you mean no? What's happening? I'm not touching anything. Are you touching? No, I haven't. Right, see, I'm not touching. Good, okay, so now I've written it funnily like that because that's the beat. So I want to get the beat. So it is this. This is the reason. All right, so we'll just play one-fingered first. Okay, so you've got it. So this is the reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ready for the challenge? And the whole congregation said, yes, yes, yes. Okay, there we go. This is the reason I bow mine to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You did very well on the first shot, okay? Always congratulate the class, even if they don't do well, right? That's the lesson. But you actually did do well. That's good. So that's the first bit. The second bit, then, clicker. You got to be alive here. Yep. Good. That, okay, so first verse, this bit goes like this. That he would grant us according to his riches in glory, to be strengthened inside. Now, I had to put strengthened inside. I couldn't fit the inner man in there, right? To be by the might of his spirit, that Christ may dwell in the heart of hearts through faith. Okay, try this. That he would grant us according to his riches in glory to be strengthened inside with the might of his spirit, that Christ may dwell in thy heart of heart through faith. Not bad. So we'll go from the top, okay? Except that now, Ursula, you come into... You're important. There you go. All right. Oop. All right. There we go. This is all yours. Back one, back one. This is you. Back one. Right. So from the top there, just sing those first two verses. Okay. Ready, go. This is the reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us according to his riches in glory to be strengthened inside by the might of his spirit, that Christ may dwell in my heart of heart through faith. Next verse, right? Now this is the same music as the first one, that we, okay, that we rooted and grounded in love to comprehend with all of the saints. It's the love that he has for all of us, this love that he has for you. And then the next verse, that good, that we being rooted and grounded in love may comprehend with all of the same, this love that he has for all of us, this love that he has for you. And the last two bits are just the same tune as that last bit. To know the width and the length and the depth and the height of this love of God for me. This love that's beyond all knowledge on earth, so great is his love for me. Same tune again. To be filled with the fullness of the knowledge of God, to stand with your word as my sword, to stand with the saints and proclaim his praise, my Jesus, my Savior, my Lord. You did very well. We'll sing it at the end. Okay, you want to give yourselves a clap? That'll be good. The clicker. So we'll sing it at the end. We'll see how we go. But the aim is, now going back to the start of my things, the aim is that we pray that. Okay, so this is our prayer. Because I felt that, you know, we pray for a lot of things. We're praying for the Sunday school, we're praying for worship, praying for the website to be up, praying for people to come in. But we want to be praying so that we're rooted and grounded in the love of God. Because what we want is fruit. But if you're rooted and grounded in God, fruit happens. And we can miss it. We can go for the second best. We can go for the fruit. But no, what you want is the relationship with God. Because to know God is what counts. Not knowing about God, not going for the other things, not going for second best, but the best. Okay, so today's sermon is on the height of God's love. And there we have the last verse there. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So, firstly, the various Greek and Hebrew words translated to mean worship. To know, to bow down, to serve, to esteem, to kiss the hand of, to venerate. When we worship God, we acknowledge His worth. So worship means worth-ship. So it's to show Him His worth. What is He worth? When we are totally inundated by the love of God, it captures our whole person. Paul doesn't bow his knee out of impersonal politeness. He crashes down before the presence of God. His experience of the love of God and his love for the saints of Ephesus consume him. Paul had been a Jesus hater, so that anyone would have expected extreme retribution from God. So in Galatians 1, you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And he was very aware of his own sinful state, Romans 7. And I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He was a guy who knew about his sinfulness. But as deep as his sorrow for his own sins was, even more wonderful was his understanding of the grace of God. When you know your own sinfulness and you know your forgiveness, the forgiveness soars because you think, how on earth can God forgive me for that? So that Paul rejoices in this incredible freedom, which the world doesn't understand. Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation. What? Not even a little bit? No condemnation. Nothing. For those who are in Christ Jesus. See, worship is impossible without repentance and where pride is present. We are reminded in James, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. As we come to church on Sunday, we need to be determined to worship and prepare for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We don't come because it's on our program as the tick-off thing to do. We come before the living God to worship Him, before the presence of God. Secondly, then, worship is our priestly service to God. Translations of Romans 12:1 increase our understanding. So, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Whoa! You might have noticed that, you know, service. And then some translation says worship. What is it? The new RSV translated, which is your spiritual worship. So this could be confusing. But the word latrian means priestly service rendered to God. And it only comes up 5 times in the New Testament. So in John 16, Jesus warns the followers, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. There are people, Muslims out there, who are killing Christians thinking that they are offering God service. In Romans 9, Paul lists service along with the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. This is part of it, our priestly service. In Hebrews 9, verses 1 and 6, the word is used for divine and priestly services. So, we have mistakenly used the word worship in a somewhat restricted sense by narrowing it down to that part of the worship, that part of the service where we sing worship songs. It's not wrong that that's worship, but it's wrong that that is restricted to worship, our definition and our understanding. The priest represents man to God, just as the prophet represents God to man. So Jesus is our high priest, there in Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Now, because of our priesthood, our lives are dedicated to bringing people into the presence of God. Doesn't matter what you want to do, our lives are dedicated to bringing people into this service, into a worship time of God, into an understanding and a relationship with God. This is our worship. In 1 Peter 2, Peter teaches that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, our service to God is worship. What you do is worship. When you go and visit, it is worship. When you take people things, it is worship. When God puts words in your mouth to speak out to encourage people, that is worship. It is your priestly service because you are bringing people into the presence of God. Thirdly, spirit and truth are essential components. Look at this, John chapter 4. The first three multiples of four in John are all ministry to women, 4, 8, and 12. Okay, so you have the Samaritan, you have the woman caught in adultery, and 12, you've got the anointing of Jesus' feet. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when we will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know." Wow, strong statement. "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Must worship in spirit and truth. Must worship in spirit and truth. Nothing else. Otherwise, it's phony. The Samaritans had diluted and polluted their worship to include strains of idolatry. So, Jesus tells the Samaritan lady that they do not know what they worship. But this too is a caution for us. The idolatry of the Western communities goes without notice. Our land is rife with idolatry. But I remind you of the four currencies of our discipleship: time, money, pride, and comfort. Okay? You want to spot the idols in our land? Look at what takes up spare time. Is it something where you follow God in your spare time, or is it something else? What do you spend your money on? Is it for the kingdom of God, or is it something else? What are you proud of? What are you prepared to sacrifice your agenda for when you've planned this day and this thing happens? When we worship God in spirit and in truth, we place God before entertainment, before food, before cars, before homes, before hobbies, before sport, before fitness, before credentials, before friends, before clothes, before the media, before anything else. God comes first. The first commandment, "You shall have no other God but me." That's it. So everything else crashes to second. God is first. Jesus explains that soon the place of worship will be irrelevant. he knew that the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. So we may miss the untruth in our own behavior, but God sees it, because sometimes the lie is so grafted in us that we can't even see it. Jesus teaches us that true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. The spirit is diametrically opposed to the flesh. If we're concerned more about performance, then we've missed it. If you're concerned about performance, you've missed it. If you're concerned that you're going to sing out of tune, you've missed it. Because God looks straight at your heart. But equally, if we're too embarrassed to bow our knees before God, to cry, to blubber our prayers, we've also missed it. Because what matters is you and God. It is easy to criticize the other side and still maintain a heart of stone. You know, Malachi chapter 1 is awesome. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down, my name will be great among the Gentiles. The Gentiles, that's us. In every place, incense shall be offered in my name. Our prayers are the incense. And a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. God reaches the stage with these people and he says, oh, I wish there was someone who would just lock the door so you couldn't get in, because you're just coming here in great uselessness and I have no pleasure in you. People, what does that do to you? You kind of think, whoa, what we want to do is we want to bring the Father pleasure. We've got to bring the Father pleasure. We must not kindle fire on his altar in vain. The fire comes from our heart to worship God. Jesus knew the prophetic statement in Malachi 1, which declared that God was fed up with phony worship. He knew that people will one day worship God globally. We must worship God at church, at home, at the shops, at work, in the car, wherever we go. And that is part of our service. We talk to God. We walk with God. We repent before God. We sing before God. Jesus explodes at the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 15. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You know, if we are to be a light for God, we have to worship and have worship exuding out of us everywhere we go and in everything we do. Embarrassment is not an issue. Embarrassment is not an issue. I emailed you the story about Bell. I felt like an idiot. I was jogging along, and as I say, I pray for the family, I pray for you. And then I asked God, who shall I pray for? And he put this lady that I taught with at Thornley on my brain. 2005 I left Thornley, so, and I don't know when she left, so it could have been 13 years ago. And then I prayed for her, ran on, and then she came up again in my head. Who else should I pray for? Pray for Belle again. And then the next day, and when I emailed her, you kind of feel really stupid, kind of think, right, did I make this up or what? You know, what is this lady going to think about you? And no, it was of God. She said in her email, you know, I knew when you emailed that God had put me on your heart to pray for me because of the situation with Joey who had that terrible accident. See, it doesn't matter about the embarrassment. And I could have been wrong. I'm wrong a million times, okay? Wrong, 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 wrong. But better be looking stupid than to be disobedient. And so you run with this and say, embarrassment is not an issue. We just run. We can look stupid. That's all right. Because when God looks at you, he looks at your heart. And he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is the thing that is erupting out of your heart? Is it a love for God? Fourthly, a major gift that facilitates worship is music. We know from Zephaniah 3:17 that included in the list of encouragements is music. God sings, "Do not fear, Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Isn't that going to be a most fantastic time when you hear the Father sing over you? I cannot wait. It'll be just so wonderful to actually hear the Father sing. David pacified Saul with music. The prophet Elisha calls for a musician to open the doors to prophecy when he counsels the wicked king Jehoram and the good king Jehoshaphat. So two kings there. And Elisha says, "As the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely were it not for that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't even look at you or see you. But now bring me a musician." And it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. In both Ephesians and Colossians, we're told to have psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in our brain. "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things that God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then Colossians there, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." See, songs can actually lift us from the burdens of this life into the presence of God. Some hymns and songs can anchor the scripture in your brain. Thankfulness is a good deflection from the troubles of this life. Some hymns are so deeply embedded in our memory that we don't need to read the words or follow the timing, so the spirit just soars, doesn't it? Paul is not preaching empty theology. In Philippi, he knows the power of worship. Look at this. This is just such a courageous piece. "Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed." You know the rest of the story. The prison guards became Christians. They joined the church of God. What amazing men. You know, these guys were stripped and beaten with rods. Now, when you're in pain, you know about pain. I'm sure at this stage of your life, everybody's been in agony somewhere. Okay, then nothing else matters, you know. If there's a Third World War starting, too bad, you know, you're in agony. You're not thinking about anything else at all, okay? That's it. They'd been stripped and beaten, and then their feet were in stocks, so you couldn't even move. Then they began the duet. At midnight, they were praying and singing. Conditions in first century prisons were appalling. There was no ventilation, no light, no toilets, so the place stank, overcrowding, little or no food. And the fact that the very first thing the Philippian jailer does is bring them food attests to that. But the remedy in all of that was worship. In the worst situation that you could be in, because people who were sent to prison were really sent to die there unless there was something miraculous happening, they worshipped. So how do you change your brain? How do you switch from being stripped and beaten in stocks with a place that smells like an overflowing toilet and no light and all of that around you, and you're just uncomfortable the whole day? What do you do? They prayed and sang. Singing hymns to God and then an earthquake happens. Wow. So singing is really important. Finally, the sexual intimacy in marriage is created by God for us to understand that our goal is intimacy with God. The sacredness of sexual intimacy is obvious. It's under attack by Satan by loosing swear words. The most sacred word in our language is Jesus. Now, I want to encourage you with something that I have failed with. But I want to encourage believers to turn off any television program that uses Jesus or Christ as a swear word. I failed already because Friday night I was watching this PG program about some kid, foster kid who ran away. I don't know if anybody saw it. And there, the guy there used the name Jesus or Christ as a swear word. And I thought, you know, we need to make a stand, because are we just saying what's wrong with it, or are we saying what's right with it? What's right with it means it is moving us to God. A holiday is only a good holiday if you're closer to God. Any experience that we have is only good if it's closer to God. We don't want compromise. We don't want middle ground. We want to just run with God. Worship must include a reaction of being offended by blasphemy. God guards sexual intimacy so that it is only sanctioned within marriage between a man and a woman. And the parallel is seen in Revelation 19. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Marriage between a man and a woman was God's door to understanding the intimacy of worship. But we mustn't miss the deliberate action of the bride. She had made herself ready. Now, the average lady understands this 100 times more than the average guy. Okay, because you've seen weddings. I mean, the guy just has to get a suit and just get ready, and the woman, the lady, just fusses over everything else. But so you've got the flowers and the dress and the food and the decorations and the colour, and who knows? But there you go. But this bride had made herself ready. See, we don't want to be coming to this wedding and say, gee, that was good. We don't even want to be coming out of this wedding saying, gee, that was perfect. You know, everything was just like expected. We want the wow factor. We want, when we get there, whoa. That's what we want. We want the wow factor, way over perfect. Okay? The righteous acts of the saints starts now. The righteous acts of the saints starts now. And people, what you're doing is you're laying a deposit for the wow factor. Because the righteous acts of the saints, you come there, and it was granted her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, can't just be turned on. Can't be just turned on once a week, 9:30 on Sunday mornings when you come for all of that. It is the culmination of 1,000 different acts of love and kindness all through. That's intimacy. Our marriage to Jesus requires us to be subject to him in everything. Daily we are cleansed by the washing of the word so that we're presented to him holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might not present her to himself, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. You know, our relationship to Jesus is one of total submission. We rejoice in his covering headship over us. We are ever grateful for salvation, and we are cleansed. We're washed, just as was prayed before. We are cleansed by the blood and made holy. We listen to the Rhema, the words of God, washing of water by the word, verse 26. We listen to the Rhema, so that after repentance, the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of the saints, cannot burden us with guilt. One of the things he does all the time, whenever you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, but we can be washed clean. And we are presented to Jesus holy and without blemish. No, it is in this state of cleanliness and openness to God that we come into his presence. We finish with this verse, Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore boldly. Now, if you know your sin and you've repented, you still need the boldness, but you come with boldness. Let us therefore boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. In this life, we have many things go wrong. We have lots of tribulation. But we come over and over and over again boldly into the presence of God. Worship is the only door to complete communion with God. It is the only place that we can get there. Let's pray. So, Lord God, this is our prayer. This is our prayer for the coming year. This is our prayer for us, each of us. We want to come crashing before you and bowing our knees before you, before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to acknowledge that we are family. And not only are we family, but we've got family that we haven't even met. We've got family that are being persecuted. We've got family that are going through trials. We've got family all around the world, but we are family. One day we will meet them. And that you are a God rich in mercy, rich in grace. And out of all of that, you strengthen us so that we are strong in your presence and only in your presence. We want to grow from here on, from this moment on. We want to grow in you. We want to be so rooted and grounded in you that we can understand your love. We can understand the breadth of your love. We can understand that there are believers out there that we haven't even met who love us. We want to understand the length of your love. We have a very shallow understanding of knowing how much you have given up for us. We want to understand the wisdom of God, the depth of your love. Over and over, you will show us the same thing, but show us something more wonderful again. And we want to understand the height of worship. We want to come before you and worship you, not only in this place, but at home and in the car and wherever, that we may be filled with all the fullness of the knowledge of God to stand before you and be full with God. Lord, I pray for such an anointing. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fill this place so that people know your presence. Know your presence, not just in this time here, but right through the week. We know your presence and we walk with you and we cry before you and we laugh before you and we sing before you and we talk with others, knowing that you are standing there. That we no longer pray to you and say, Lord, what will I do? But we pray, Lord, what will we do about this? Because you're the one who guides us and we're a team. We are hands and feet and mouth, so that you can use us to spread the gospel and to win souls for Jesus Christ. We pray for the Sunday school, Lord, that's happening. We pray that there'll be a time that we win souls for you. We pray for that lady who has wanted a dedication of a baby in this church. We pray for her and Josie and Dino to be blessed. Lord, we want souls saved. We pray for Bell over in Queensland, witnessing to non-Christians with a prayer meeting. We pray for souls saved. Lord, we want souls saved. We pray for the Franklin Graham Crusade. We pray for souls to be saved. And we pray that we will be active in all of that. Would you give us an alertness to your Spirit so that we are active? In Jesus' name. Amen. We've got two songs. One is the Ephesians 3:1, and then, "And Can It Be?" We'll stand and we'll try. "And Can It Not Be?" Oh, right. No. I've got the words on my thing. "And Can It Be?" Okay, but we'll go back to your song. Coming up. So we can stand. Everybody's heart is ready to try. We've got a nice little smile on Sandra's face. Yes, keep going right the way down. It's about slide 16 or something. Yes, I think it's slide 16. Down. Maybe I should do a down. There we go. You've got it. Oh, back one. There it is. Okay, so we'll give it a shot. "This is the reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He's from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is made, that He would grant us a the might of His Spirit that Christ made in my heart of hearts through faith. It's we being rooted and grounded in love to comprehend with all of the saints this love that He has for all of us, this love that He has for you, the width and the length and the depth and the height of this love of God for me. There's love that's beyond any knowledge on earth, so great is His love for me. Filled with the fullness of the knowledge of God, to stand with your word as my sword, to stand with the saints and proclaim your praise, my Jesus, my Savior, my Lord." Last verse again. "To be filled with the fullness of the knowledge of God, to stand with your word as my sword, to stand with the saints and proclaim His name, my Jesus, my Savior, my Lord."